The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to be giving away tickets to join us for Sweet Night at the River Dogs. That's coming up on August the 5th. It is going to be a great night as the River Dogs are going to be taking on Greenville, the Drive. This is part of the, term that I coined? The tribalry here in South Carolina, Greenville, Columbia, and Charleston. So you'll be able to see one of the legs of the tribalry there August the 5th. It's going to be a fun night. Fun night. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Would love to have you. Anything you want to discuss today. All right, let's see. Oh, also coming up in just a minute, we're going to be talking about how people are now claiming that President Trump is a child abuser. I'll have that for you. Right now, here's Steve in Hanahan. Steve, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
I tell you what, buddy, I'm in your corner on this John McCain statement. I'm a fan of John McCain. He's mm-hmm. chairman of the Senate Armed Service Committee, and he does a good job. He fights for the military. I mean, he really fights for funding for the military. But let me tell you, he's all wet on this thing.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for talk radio and the internet, some of these bozos that were out there wouldn't even have been elected.
They would be able to get away with anything they wanted to do.
That's exactly right.
If it weren't for talk radio, they could run roughshod over this country.
Yeah, conservative talk radio, John, helped you get elected. But, well, you probably would have been elected anyway out in Arizona.
Yeah.
And but, you know, these guys need to think long and hard. Hey, John, I tell you what, next time you're going to face the nation, I'll just turn it off. How about that on the Sunday show?
Yeah, because remember, those are the blowhards.
That's exactly right.
Those are the blowhards, and they're more than willing to show up when they have a message to put out there. They're more than willing to call this show and say, hey, can we come on? Can we, can we get an interview? Oh, sure, come on. But then when you go to them and say, hey, this is, let's get you on the show to talk about this. Well, the Senate is quite busy at this moment. We won't be able to do that. So,
aren't you going to have Mark Sanford coming on pretty soon?
It will be soon. Yeah. And I've got some things.
Remind him of the same thing too. I tell you, Mark Sanford is not making any friends with the federal retirees and federal employees these days. I tell you, he's getting heavy into retirement stuff that people
right.
paid for and promises that were made. He better be careful too. But you know, I really and I say this out of this is a sincere request. I wish John, you know, he's got 6 years as far as his term goes. He was just reelected
right.
in November.
But, right.
You know, he needs to go home and be with his family.
I think he will.
Yeah,
he's going to have to.
Does good grief, man? Get out of that mess. If you don't like it that much and you're so upset, get out of it and go home and be where you should be at this point in your life.
I really think
talk radio is your friend, buddy. Be
that's
careful.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Appreciate it, Steve. Thank you, buddy. I think we have seen John McCain's last hurrah. He's going to leave home. He says he's going to be in Washington, D.C. for a couple of days and then go back to Arizona and start his cancer treatment. I don't think he has. And maybe he has. Maybe he's just putting on a brave face in the public. But this is glioblastoma. This is nothing you need to mess around with. The treatments for glioblastoma are very severe. They're very aggressive. And I think it's going to take its toll on Senator John McCain. He's going to have to start thinking, listen, am I going to be dealing with these yahoos up in Washington, D.C., or am I going to start spending my time and my energy that I need to be recuperating and recovering? Am I going to spend that in Washington, or am I going to spend that with my friends and my family back in Arizona? I don't think we'll see John McCain in Senate much longer. Again, we're very saddened with that. We hate to hear that that he has been diagnosed with glioblastoma. However, to make statements like he did yesterday there in the Senate, I think we're completely uncalled for.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Well, President Trump is now a child abuser. Oh, yeah. That's what the ladies on The View say. The biddies on The View are now saying that Donald Trump committed child abuse. Now, this is the same group of people that attacked Barron Trump, the 11-year-old child. Remember that? Remember? And those kind, considerate folks on the left said that Barron Trump was going to be the first homeschooled shooter. Yeah, that's the group there that says that President Trump is a child abuser. Now, this all came from a speech that the president gave at the annual Boy Scout Jamboree in West Virginia 2 days ago. After his address to tens of thousands of Boy Scouts, famous anti-Trump protesters took to Twitter to whine because the president addressed some political topics. Oh, my goodness. Even the ladies on The View spent 4 minutes on the subject, airing their complaint. Yep, that's right. News outlets like Newsweek called the speech, listen to this, a Hitler Youth Rally. A Hitler Youth Rally. Now, there you go. So now Whoopi has gone to calling President Trump the new guy. That's her name for President Trump, the president of the United States, the new guy, the new guy. We'll just start calling Obama the old guy. Yeah, the old guy. And we'll start calling Hillary the old girl, the old lady. Whoopi Goldberg ripped into Trump for mentioning that Obama never attended a Boy Scout Jamboree in 8 years, never attended one. She had a great reason for it, too, because Obama was invited to the Boy Scout Jamboree on the day that he was on The View. So that's, oh, what a good reason. And, you know, instead of picking up the phone, Whoopi, I'd love to come visit you girls on The View, but I got to go to the Boy Scout Jamboree. That's taking president there. But no, he would rather go visit with Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg and the Cluck team there on The View. It's unbelievable. Some of the other things that President Trump was guilty of saying was that our economy is doing great. A scout is trustworthy, loyal. We could use some loyalty. I will tell you that. That's what the president said. And of course, the people on The View, they went crazy over that. So, oh, and also the president said, you will be saying Merry Christmas again when you go shopping. How dare he say that? How dare a president of the United States come along and say that? So apparently this speech was so horrible that one of the hosts of The View went on a tirade on how she was embarrassed for him. Embarrassed for him. I'm sorry, have you watched your own show? She said, I didn't vote for him and I'm embarrassed. I feel like I wake up every day and have to apologize for this guy because I'm proud of my country. But this behavior is insane. It's crazy. He should be humiliated. Again, have you not seen your own show? Have you not seen that, Ms. Bila? You haven't checked that out? So don't you be embarrassed, young lady. You need to be embarrassed by some of the comments that your co-host there, Whoopi Goldberg, and Joy Behar make. Those are the things that you need to be embarrassed about. How this show is still on the air is beyond me. All right, let's switch gears here and head out to Hanahan and talk to Anthony. The DHEC did a bunch of testing of the water over there in Mount Pleasant, found no pesticides. Let's talk to Anthony about it. Anthony, how are you?
How you doing, Charlie?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to, you know, I keep hearing your little, your headline or whatever. Pesticides in the water. Well,
right.
I just want to say, yes, there is pesticides in the water. It's called hydrofluorosilicic acid. And another commonly known word as fluoride, but your body needs a tiny bit of sodium fluoride,
right?
Not hydrofluorosilicic acid, this was what they used to fluoridate the water, and that was commonly used as pesticides for umpteen years and stuff. And you know, you never really heard about fluoride in the water until Stalin started putting it in the water in the gulags, and that was to sterilize and make the people docile so they wouldn't fight back.
It's a funny thing that you say that, Anthony, because we are just hearing that the sperm count of North American men is at an all-time low.
Yep. Michael Savage was talking about that yesterday. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, if you do not filter your water, you can't get a Brita filter, right? Because hydrofluorosilicic acid is a very small metal. It passes through 90% of the filters that you can get out there. You have to get what you call, it's called ProPure or a Big Berkey water filter.
Right.
Stainless steel, gravity-fed water filter. Sit them on your counter, fill it up, drink the water. But a lot of people also skip over, which I'm guilty of this too, the biggest organ in your body, which is your skin. You take a shower, it also absorbs it. You go to a restaurant, they cook with tap water. You know what I mean? It's hard to you know, rid yourself of it. But I'm telling you, that stuff calcifies the pineal gland and it destroys your thyroid. And what a look at the pineal gland, that's for diabetes and stuff like that. So, folks, if you don't filter your water, you're crazy.
All right, Anthony, I appreciate you calling in this morning. Thank you so much, buddy.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Just to make it perfectly clear, the president did not say that Jeff Sessions was weak. That was not the statement from the president. He said, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has taken a very weak position on Hillary Clinton crimes. He didn't say Jeff Sessions was weak. He said that Jeff Sessions' position on Hillary Clinton was weak. Just to let everybody make sure that you are 100% clear on that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, we're going to do this after the next break. There was this teen. I really do not understand our young people today. And I know that's been said from the first time. You know, I'm sure Adam was, you know, talking to Eve saying, you know, a lot of kids today, huh? What do they know? What do they got going on? So I don't understand the thought processes and the mentality of teenagers today. There was a teen driver who live streamed a car crash that killed her younger sister. And we're going to play you this because she live streamed it. What? How many of you, if you were in a car wreck, let's say, guys, you're in a car wreck and your wife has been ejected from the car, would you live stream that situation? No, I don't understand it. I don't understand the mentality of young people these days. And it's all social media. It really, really is. It's all social media. Speaking of that, did you ever think that you would see a major motion picture that had talking poop? Did you ever think in your lifetime that you would see a major motion picture with talking fecal matter? I'm just go back and think about, you know, however long you've been living, did you ever think, you know, that's, you know what we need? We need a movie with talking poo. That's what we need. Well, that's what you're getting with the emoji movie that this is coming out. I don't understand what's passing for decency these days. And we have lost a lot of that. And hopefully we're going to start getting that back very soon. But boy, I tell you what, I'm watching some of the previews of this thing. I'm saying, what is this? Oh, the poo is wearing a bow tie. Oh, well, that makes it cute now. Oh, it's got eyes. Oh, okay. Oh, and there's like a father and a son poo. Oh, well, that's nice. The emoji movie. That's what you're going to be getting. And parents all over the land will be taking their kids to see that because, hey, it's emojis. And I have a cell phone that's got emojis and I use emojis. Oh, boy. Blah. Huh. Where are we? Where are we right now? We have lost our minds.
WTMA! Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:49 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. As I was telling you a minute ago, there's a teen driver out there who live streamed a car crash that killed her younger sister. Well, she has now been charged with manslaughter, according to Reuters. Abdalia Sanchez, 18 years old, was recording a live Instagram video of herself singing rap music while she drove her sister and another 14-year-old on Friday near Los Banos, California. California Highway Patrol said that Sanchez overcorrected after the vehicle drifted off the edge of the road, causing her to flip the car. Both passengers, who were not wearing seatbelts, were ejected from the car. Sanchez's sister, Jacqueline, died at the crash. Jacqueline continued to live stream video after the crash, showing a bloodied and unresponsive girl on the ground.
If you don't survive, baby, I'm sorry. Baby, wake up, baby. Wake up, baby. Wake up, baby. I'm sorry, baby. I did not mean to kill you, sweetie.
What? Somebody explain that to me. Somebody explain that audio tape from this crash to me. Hey, everybody, I got, if I go to effing jail for life, you already know why. My sister is effing dying. Look, I effing love my sister to death. I don't give an F. Well, then why in the hell do you continue to videotape? Is that the first thing or the last thing on your mind? Let's keep the camera rolling. Let's keep the camera rolling while my sister is lying there dying. So investigators are aware of the possibility of video evidence located on social media, is according to the California Highway Patrol. Investigators are looking into the validity of these reports and will provide updates when they become available. The other passenger survived the crash with serious injury to her right leg. Sanchez was arrested on Friday on suspicion of driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol and vehicular manslaughter. She's been held in jail with a bail set at $300,000. She's going to be in court today. I just don't get it. A tragic accident happens and you keep videotaping? Where are we in society where that's okay? Where they just, hey, look, everybody, my sister's dying. My word. That is absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know. What is it? Does everybody want to be a celebrity? Does everybody want to be a Kardashian? Does everybody want to be, you know, their little, well, you know what? You got it there. Abdullah Sanchez, you got your little bit of fame that you wanted. Oh, your sister's dead for it. But hey, at least you're probably going to get a lot of downloads on that. You're going to get a lot of hits on that. You'll probably be, oh, that'll go viral. That seems to be the most important thing. You got to make something go viral. Got to make it go viral. Oh, gosh, that's just, I don't get it. And maybe you can explain it to me, but I certainly don't get it. The fact that your sister's dying and you sit there and you keep videotaping what's going on. I'm wondering when she called 911. When did the 911 call go out on that phone? If you're so concerned about your sister, where was that 911 call? I would like to go back. Let's see, California Highway Patrol. I hope somebody releases the 911 tapes from this crash. Because, and then I'll even wonder if it came from the sister. Did it come from Abdullah Sanchez? Or did it come from somebody else that was at the scene, that happened upon the scene? I would like to know, did she call 911? Something in my mind is saying probably not. She was too interested in making a viral video. But there you go. That's where we are. It's sad, really. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, I'm going to be talking more about John McCain on the House or the Senate floor last night. Really giving a big old middle finger up to talk radio and talk radio listeners. And, you know, I would have thought probably not really appropriate. And he also said that we got to start working together. When in the last 8 years under the Obama administration did you ever hear of Democrats wanting to work with the Republicans? It didn't happen. West of the Ashley, let's talk to Scott. Scott, how are you?
I'm well, Charlie.
Good.
I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm not a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Cash Me Outside video?
Yeah, this girl. Now, there's a lot of these. A lot of these because this young lady who appeared on the Dr. Phil show.
She's like 14 or something.
Yeah, 14, something like that. And she is from down in Louisiana, so she's got a very strong Cajun accent, and one of her catchphrases is "Cash me outside." I guess that means
challenging the audience.
Yeah, but right. Yeah,
it's supposed to be "Catch me outside."
Right. Like,
let's take this outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing went viral. And
right.
She's trying to make public appearances and cash in on it. I guarantee this nitwit saw that and it had some influence on her.
All of this stuff does. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's crazy to, again, I wish there'd be some serious academic research into what makes somebody like this person do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This girl that you're talking about, Danielle Bregoli, lives down in Louisiana, the Cash Me Outside girl. She is getting a lot of money off of this. Now, this is a horrible young lady who is basically threatening her mother on the Dr. Yeah. Phil show.
Violently so.
Yeah. She's just going to take her mom outside and whip her butt. And the internet makes her a celebrity.
Yeah, she belongs in reform school. Dr. Phil's trying to help her.
Yeah. Well, some people, and I hate to say it, I think are beyond help.
Only time will, if anything's going to help them, it'll be time.
Yeah, that's true. It's sad. It's sad, Scott, that we have young people out there that will videotape, just like those kids that were videotaping that disabled man who was drowning the other day.
Right.
Do you remember that?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
How horrible that was? I don't get them. I really don't. And I hate to sound like the old fogey saying, I don't know what's wrong with kids these days, but I don't know what's wrong with kids these days.
It's going to be a new field of research.
It really is. I appreciate you calling, Scott. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. I really don't understand it. I mean, if this is the future, we are doomed. Doomed as doomed can be, as they say. Everything's going to have to be a viral video. Everything's going to, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, those kids that just laughed at this man who was drowning in a river the other day. I mean, they didn't offer to help. They didn't call 911. They didn't try to do anything to help the fella out. No, they just let him drown, let him die. So real quick, we just got a few seconds left. Jan's west of the Ashley. What do you think, Jan? Jan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, real quick. Don't have time for you, Jan. We got to hit a break here right now.
WTMA.com.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
You know, I thought the Democrats hated Jeff Sessions. I thought he was a big racist. I thought they wanted him out of there. The Democrats didn't want Jeff Sessions to be Attorney General. Maxine Waters said he's a
racist and we got to get him out of there. We don't want him in there. We don't want him to be the Attorney General.
That was the best Maxine Waters impression of the world. I'm world known to be a Maxine Waters impressionist. In fact, I'll be in Vegas next week. We're going to be starting a show. So the Democrats wanted Sessions out. But now that President Trump is hinting that Sessions is going to be out, well, now they're all upset. What is, I don't get these people. I really don't. Such as this. Listen to this. I love this. I'm reading directory from the Post and Courier. At a time, and I'll have to do this dramatically, at a time when many Democrats say they do not feel heard, the Charleston County Democrat Party on Thursday will hold an event dedicated to listening. When in the heck has the Democrat Party not been heard? That's all we've heard. For the past 8 years, that's what we've heard. Billed as a Democratic community forum, the hour-long event. Well, they're really going to be listening now. They're going to give you 60 minutes to get in there and have your say. The hour-long event will take place at 7 o'clock Thursday at the International Longshoremen Association Hall on Morrison Drive. It's free and open to the public. But organizers say they are most interested in hearing from self-identified Democrats. So basically, if you're a Republican, they don't want to hear from you. If you're an independent or a libertarian, they don't want to hear from you. The Democrat doing the listening will be Brady Quirk Garvin, chairman of the Charleston County Democrat Party, and South Carolina Democratic Party chairman Trav Robertson. We want to make sure that we have the best ideas to win more elections, according to Brady. We know that lots of people are tired of status quo politics, so we want to listen to what they'd like to see. People are tired of status quo politics? Hello, Democrat Party. Guess what? You are the status quo politics. You are the reason that people are tired. You are the reason that people can't be heard because you shut down any ideas that don't go along with what you have to say. The local chapter is the first county-level party to hold an event like this, but other groups will follow. In the 2016 presidential election, and then they have to go into election numbers. Anyway, the Democrats are going to start listening to people. Well, this is all coming due. And I wonder if there was like an email that went out or something like that, or a blog post or something from the Democrats saying, hey, you guys got to start holding listening sessions. You guys have finally got to start listening to what people are saying out there. Well, the Democrats launched their Better Deal plan this week, and it didn't get a lot of attention because, frankly, it's not a plan at all. There is no plan. They're just piggybacking or coattailing off of everything that Donald Trump ran on in the 2016 election. So they came up with their Better Deal plan out there. But even the folks at MSNBC think it's ridiculous. Yes, yes. It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. Do they mean what they're saying right now? Absolutely not. Are they for higher wages? Only at the expense of the middle class, yes. But they're not for jobs. They're not for, because their regulations squelch jobs. So we'll see. Actions always, always, always speak louder than words. WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
It's coming up October, I'm sorry, October, August the 5th. August the 5th, that's the next 5th coming up. August the 5th as River Dogs take on Greenville at the Joe, and we are having our WTMA suite night, and I will take caller number 12 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250 to join the entire WTMA crew there in the suite at the Joe coming up Saturday, August the 5th, and it's a lot of fun. We get out there, and we are in one of those great luxury suites there at the Joe, and you will be able to join us. So caller number 12 right now at 556-1250 is going to pick these tickets up. That's caller number 12 at 556-1250, and you'll be joining us there. Everybody always has a good time. Everybody, when we're wrapping up the evening there, everybody is always, you know, as we're walking out and we're thanking everybody for coming, everybody always has a smile on their face and they're just so happy and they always have a great time. Of course, they put on a great show out of the Joe. They really do each and every game, each and every week, and especially on the weekends. They really, really do a great job. But let's go to caller number 12 right now and say, hey, who's this?
This is Robert Olson.
Robert, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Uh-huh. Caller number 12.
You are absolutely caller number 12. Congratulations. You're going to be joining us there at Sweet Night at the Joe. How about that?
That sounds fantastic.
It's a lot of fun, and we certainly look forward to seeing you there. I can't wait to see you and shake your hands and spend some time with you as we watch the River Dogs take on the Greenville Drive coming up on August the 5th. I'm going to have John Quincy get some information from you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We got a lot to talk about this morning. I didn't know, you guys might not have heard about this, but it happened at Charleston International Airport. There was apparently an intoxicated passenger who became disruptive and refused to leave an American Airlines plane that was set to fly from Charleston International Airport to Philadelphia. Now, this thing could have gone ugly. We've seen that over the past few months. How, I don't understand when people get disruptive on a plane. I certainly don't understand when people get drunk on a plane. I just don't understand. I really don't. Well, the pilot was ready to cancel the flight. He was ready to say, you know what, Tower, we're not going to do this. We got an unruly passenger, and we're just going to bail on this. But he called the Charleston County Aviation Authority police officers. They came on board the plane, but unlike what happened back at the United Airlines flight in Chicago back in April, you know, that one went viral and caused an uproar. The event on Sunday apparently ended pretty calmly. Charleston County Aviation Authority Police Captain Chris Helm said, We talked to him. We de-escalated the situation, and rightly so. The officer who spoke to the passenger explained the consequences. Look, pal, here's what's going to happen. The flight's going to be canceled if you don't leave, and then we're going to send you over to the FBI. Oh, and by the way, you see that guy over there with the rubber glove? He's going to have a go at you real quick. That'd get me to leave a plane. Sometimes people can't think straight, Helm said. We see people sometimes confused. They think flying is a right, not a privilege. At that point, the man agreed to leave with law enforcement. He wasn't arrested. I think he should have been, but he wasn't arrested. They helped him book a later flight, and when he wanted to leave the airport in the meantime, they sent him off in an Uber. The handling of the situation, reading from the Post and Courier here, the handling of the situation reflected the training and methodology of Charleston County Aviation Authority officers, according to Helms. When it comes to these interventions, whether it's with the general public or to be a suspect or subject, there are a few things we keep in mind. One of those things is the golden rule, which, by the way, for you folks that don't know what that is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not as they do unto you. That's often misinterpreted there. Arrests are rare. There were about 125,600 calls for service last year. 125,000 last year? 125,000 calls through the Charleston County Aviation Authority Police? Is that correct? CCAA officers arrested only 28 people. 125,000 calls last year? What are people doing on these planes? First of all, you never have to ask me to leave a plane. I'm okay with that. All right, we're here. Okay. And I'm off. So the type of call that they responded to on Sunday is classified as an irate passenger call. Sometimes it comes from the plane, but it could be as simple as a passenger losing his or her temper while trying to find their gate. Sometimes they're having a bad day, Helms said. Sometimes there's alcohol involved. I would say a lot of times there are.
.com.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
President Trump coming down on Attorney General Jeff Sessions pretty hard over the past couple of days. In the Rose Garden, he said, I told you before, I'm very disappointed in my Attorney General, but we will see what happens. Time will tell, time will tell. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with John Legato. He is a former U.S. Marine Corps member. He is a former deep cover FBI special agent and the author of a new book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller. Good morning, John Legato. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Charlie.
Did you ever think that you would see the Democrats coming to the defense of Jeff Sessions?
No, I didn't. They certainly didn't come to his defense during his confirmation hearing.
Right, that's the truth. I thought they wanted him out. I thought this is something that they would have been very, very happy about. But what about this? I mean, a lot of people saying that he called the attorney general weak. He didn't. He said he was taking a weak stance. But is Jeff Sessions getting enough love from the president right now?
Here's what I think. President Trump was not a politician. He was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his subordinates, who would be Attorney General Sessions,
right,
made a major decision without picking up the phone and said, boss, here's my situation. Here's what I think I'm going to do. You know, talk to me. And to me, I like Jeff Sessions. That was wrong. You should always check with your boss. So he didn't do that. And President Trump would have forgiven him. I think that was back on his radar until that allowed Rosenstein to make this ridiculous appointment of Mueller as the special counsel. So if Mueller wasn't there, I think the Sessions thing wouldn't be an issue with the president.
Right. Well, all of this really started out, like you said, Rosenstein, he appointed Mueller. Mueller, best friends with James Comey. Mueller is appointing all of these attorneys who were big donors to the Democrats. I mean, the president has to feel like, you know what, you know, you didn't do me quite right, Jeff. You should have talked to me before this. We should have fought this thing together.
Well, exactly, especially coming from a CEO. You know, he's not a politician, and if any of his employees would have ever done that, they would have been fired. But the Rosenstein thing amazes me, too. I mean, you don't talk about this much, but Rosenstein knew Comey, and he knew Mueller.
Right.
And he knew, I mean, who else would better know, that if he appointed Mueller, because he made the appointment,
mm-hmm.
if he appointed Mueller, Comey had to be a witness or a subject in Mueller's investigation under special counsel.
Right.
So I don't, you know, Rosenstein sort of, I'm suspicious of him right now, because that appointment is a blatant conflict of interest. First of all, the specials, he should have never appointed and enacted the special counsel, because it should only be enacted if there's underlying criminal activity.
Right.
Not criminal suspicion, not innuendos, not rumors, not anonymous sources. So the whole enactment of the special counsel was illegitimate. And then if you read the language, it says that you must recuse yourself. There's a conflict of interest if there's a personal or professional relationship between a subject in an investigation or a witness. That describes a T, Comey and
right.
Mueller. So if I was Trump, I'd fire Mueller and say yeah. all these things.
Now, let me ask you this, John. If the president, you know, if the president fires Mueller, it creates a hellstorm. Should Mueller recuse himself from this investigation because of his close ties to Comey?
Yeah, you know, I'm a retired FBI agent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really look at the court system, which is basically the legal system, judges recuse themselves all the time for having a cousin who has a cousin that knows one of the jurors. I mean,
right.
they immediately, and attorneys recuse themselves from cases. I'm so disappointed in Mueller for just not having the integrity, the honesty to not listen. If Comey comes in and gives me a witness statement, I'm going to be predisposed to believe him. He's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Especially,
right.
I'm Italian. I'm very loyal. So my buddy comes in, you know, Vinny, and he gives me a statement. And Vinny, I trust you. I've known. I've had dinner with you. I know you never. You've put him in a tough situation. And the only person, unfortunately, there's nobody above Mueller that would come down and say, Bob, I can't put you in this position. It's
right.
not fair to you, and it's not fair to Comey. But there is no adult in this situation except the president.
Yeah. All right. So question, does he fire Sessions? Does he fire Mueller?
Well, you know, he's not a politician, so
yeah.
he may do it. I think he would fire. The problem with Mueller is it's a legal ramifications.
Yeah.
Sessions is just emotional and just a bunch of, you know, backlash. So, if it was me, I'd fire Mueller because Sessions was loyal to me and we can work it out. But again, it's an Italian thing. Loyalty is big. But I'd get rid of Mueller. And you know what? In 6 months from now, I mean, everybody will go crazy for, you know, 6 months.
Right.
And then.
And that's the thing, John. We're only 6 months into this administration and look at where we are.
Yeah, the news cycle would. And, you know, if he came out and explained why. I mean, just using the stuff I'm saying is that this isn't fair. We need an impartial. I'm not against the special counsel.
Mm-hmm.
We want an impartial one. So here's my proposal. I'm firing Mueller and everybody that he hired. I want a panel of Democrats and Republicans. You guys get together and agree on a special counsel. And if it's impartial, let's go with it.
Yeah. So we'll see. John Legato, author of the book, The Near Enemy, a John Booker thriller, also the featured in a documentary on the American Hero Channel. John, you've had a quite the storied career. I hope everybody picks up your book. We can get it on Amazon and just about anywhere else where great books are sold. And we appreciate talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Charlie. You take care.
Thank you very much. John Legato on with us this morning.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
And a very good morning to you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Would love for you to join in on the conversation today. Want to remind you, coming up on Thursday, we have got a sweet deal for you, and I'm talking about a sweet sweet deal. It is a $50 gift certificate to Stella Nova Salon and Spa for half off. Yep, a $50 gift certificate to Stella Nova, half price, coming up Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Go on over to WTMA.com, click on the sweet deal link, and get yourself one. And like I said, it's a great, great just-because gift for the Wona in your life, guys. You want some serious brownie points? This is how you do it. And while you're there, why not just go ahead and take her out to dinner, too? Still available at WTMA.com. You can get two $25 gift certificates to Smoke Barbecue in Mount Pleasant for half price. Again, just click on the Sweet Deals button and save, save, save. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. You know, it's summertime, and folks like to get out, and they like to get a little active, and you go to the beach, and you see them all out there, and they're getting a little bit of sun and getting a little color to their skin. Well, what if you were one of those people that didn't get a whole lot of color in your skin? Well, some people in Pattaya, Thailand, were walking on the beach on Monday night when they spotted something out in the water. It was bright white. It was human-like shaped, floating just off the shore, and they were all pretty sure that it was a ghost. Yes, a ghost there. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Well, the cops got there, and they quickly realized it wasn't a ghost. It was just a very pale woman. Yeah, how pale do you have to be? She was a 40-year-old Chinese tourist named Zhang Yan, and after a night of drinking and partying, she decided to go skinny dipping. So the cops wound up taking her back to her hotel room. They decided to not charge her with a crime, except for the crime of not having any melanin in her skin whatsoever. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. You got to be pale to be. I remember one of those life lessons that I learned one day. I was in the gym. I was in college, and I was in the gym, and one of my friends was, we were meeting there for something. I forget the situation, but I was sitting there on the bleachers, and my friend, who was a female, was walking across the basketball court there. And I said, "Hey, I like those white hose you got on." To which she replied, "I'm not wearing white hose." That was ding, 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 ding. Lesson learned, never, ever compliment a woman on anything like that. That and being pregnant. So how far along are you? I'm not pregnant. Oh, awkward situation. Yeah. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Here's a new study out. We told you yesterday that there was a new study out that said that people who were basically neurotic lived longer. Yeah, neurotic. So if you find somebody in their 90s, you can just make that assumption that this person is neurotic. There is a new study out from the University of Wisconsin that show women who show some cleavage at work are viewed as being better bosses and more powerful. But there's a fine line there, and the opposite effect of too much cleavage would have the opposite effect, like I said. According to this new study, women who show a little bit of cleavage at work are viewed as being better bosses and more powerful. And the effect was especially strong with other women, yeah, who overwhelmingly said that showing cleavage seemed to be more powerful. The researchers say they were surprised at the results, but like everybody else, when it comes to women, sexuality and work, it's a minefield to navigate. You can't, now you can say they're powerful, but you certainly can't compliment them on they can't. Hey, boss, nice cleavage. What do you mean I got to go to HR? And then you walk in and get HR, and there's the HR director, and you go, hey, nice office you got here.